The Vox Markets Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communication. Joral.
I'm good, thanks, Jess. Did your son go to the game at the weekend?
He did,
the
yes. Spurs game? It did. Wow. And it's funny. I didn't have any. You know, I was just looking on Google at the scores, and he was there with my wife and his cousin. And at 90 minutes, it was like you're 1-0 down on the Spurs. I kept refreshing Google, and the Google thing didn't update. And Megan, my wife, said, scored. And I said, who scored? And I sort of refreshed Google, there's no notice of it. And then before you know it, with, you know, 10 minutes gone, there was like 2 goals from Spurs. Like, wow. They left out a bit late, didn't they?
It's incredible. It was actually the latest comeback in Premier League history. So because, of course, now referees are adding more time, you know, all the time the ball's out of play, they're adding that on. So that's actually counting toward the time played actually on the pitch. And, of course, there was, I think, 12 minutes extra time at the end. So Spurs were able to go out and win it on the back of that. And, of course, that was that much to the ire of the Sheffield United manager. But, you know, it was, I think on balance, you know, what I saw, they deserved to win simply because they completely outplayed Sheffield United. But, you know, Sheffield got a lucky goal and just hung on to the lead. But, you know, that was it, really. So, anyway.
No, I did look at the stats on the Google app. It was showing that, you know, they had Spurs had more shots on target and all that, more possession. And so it was surprising when they were 1-0 down. But I suppose, you know, it didn't matter how much extra time you got, you got to play till the whistle goes, and you can't say, oh, then we would have won if you'd blown the whistle 90 minutes, because that's somewhere, you know, until it's finished, you keep playing, didn't you? You know?
You do indeed, yeah. Yep.
Cool. All right, Dale, what are we talking about? Stocks.
Okay, so I want to start with a company called TruSpine, which TruSpine, of course, are Aquis listed, and they own the IP to some revolutionary screw-free spinal stabilization systems. Of course, you know, as we all get older, most of us will at some point or another have a bad back. I know I certainly suffer with that. And the company has a number of patented devices. Servilock, which is a system used in the cervical spine that minimizes risk of vertebral artery injury, has a system called grasp laminoplasty, which is a system that grasps the spine and the masses around the neck to help expand the spinal canal, relieving pressure on the spinal cord, and also a fasciolock. And this fasciolock is used on the posterior aspect of the lumbar and lower vertebrae in the spine. The company currently have just applied to the FDA, that they have lodged an application with the FDA for approval for Servilock in the US, and this will be a huge step forward for the company when it actually gets to that point. But of course, the process the FDA has to go through, there will be a fair amount of time involved in assessing the product, and then of course getting issuing final approval. But at that point, of course, TruSpine will be able to start selling the product freely and generate revenues from that. But just to look back at the company's gone through a fairly turbulent history. The share price, of course, was back down to more or less zero at the start of this year. But it has recovered, and the share price is now starting to move back up again. We were down at just below a penny, now up to 1.9p, briefly cleared 2p. But of course, that's still a long way off the 7 or 8p highs that we saw earlier in the year. But today, another step forward, the company has announced the appointment of two directors to the board. Again, this is all about expanding the expertise on the board and bringing people that can help and develop the product, and also be able to talk about the product amongst their peer group, and also, of course, amongst institutions as well. This is the sort of company I'm sure will be attracting institutional interest at some point in the future. They today appointed Sam Ogunsalu, who's has over 20 years' experience in commercialization, licensing, and business development in the pharma industry. He's also transformed technology partnerships with companies like Merck, GlaxoSmithKline, Pharmacy, and now with Pfizer, and established a number of preclinical research programs with industrial partners to help take them forward. He's also held a number of positions in technology business units connected with Queen Mary College London, and a number of other board positions. And Sam is obviously going to come on and help develop the business and also establish those relationships. Company also appointed Victoria Senna. She founded Cherry Bank Consulting to assist clients in areas of governance, operations, risk, and compliance. So Victoria will be very much focused, I imagine, on the legalese aspect of TruSpine, working with the US FDA in that regard going forward. But of course, this is Lawrence Spine is currently at the helm. He's chief executive, and he has steered the company through a difficult time when there was a GM early this year to try and oust him on the board, which has overturned successfully. And really, I think from here, the only way is up. But encouraging developments this morning. Share price currently, as I say, 1.9p, gives the company a tiny market cap of just 2.29 million. This is in, of course, a huge marketplace. You know, the marketplace is worth many, many billions of dollars, something like estimated $10 billion per annum, expected to grow a compound average growth rate of 3% a year through to 2026. So a hugely important marketplace, and one that I'm sure TruSpine will be playing a very significant role in going forward.
Yeah, I get back problems all the time.
Yeah, it's well, I think the thing is, if you're sitting in front of a screen, that certainly hasn't helped me over the years. I've now got a very good chair, which wasn't cheap, but it's made an awful lot of difference because it ensures the posture is right. So when you're sitting in front of a screen all day, you can actually get up and your body's been in the right posture for however long you've been sitting in front of the screen for, and that's very important. But nonetheless, you know, people have back problems through accidents, through all sorts of issues. So this technology is going to be hugely important to helping resolve those issues in the future.
Yeah, what chair have you got there, Al?
What
chair? You got a nice chair.
A chair, yes. There's a company in Brighton called ODM Office Supplies, and they have a number of very good office chairs. And I went along, and as you should do with all these things, try before you buy. Sat down, played with all of the various adjustments, and found a position which was perfect. And the chair was delivered to me in that position. And as I speak to you now, I'm comfortable. Back is supported, particularly in the lower back, which is very important. And got a little headrest too, which I can just lean back on and take full advantage of. But the actual brand of the chair, I'll find that out, and I will I'll send you a link over.
Yeah, that's the thing. I need to change my chair position. It's laptops as well. We're sitting on the sofa sometimes with a laptop, and your head, neck is down. That's
yeah,
your back
yeah.
as well. Yeah, I've seen people standing up desks. I don't know how they do that though. I can't really type when I'm standing up. Can you? I don't know why that is.
It's a strange thing, actually. I think a lot of people do like to stand up and work because it helps them think more clearly. But for me, if I'm in front of my screens and I'm comfortable and you're at the right height as well, and everything you work at is at the right height, then you've done as well as you can. But also, I think when you're working in front of a screen, everyone says that you should at least have a 10-minute break every hour. Get up, walk around, look long distance. You know, do something different, and then go back to it.
Yeah, or an hour break every 10 minutes. That's good. That'd be nice.
An hour break every 10 minutes.
Right, what's next, Al?
Okay, another Aquis company. We spoke about this company a few months ago, and the share price has steadily risen since that point. This is a company called Aura Technologies. ORA is the epic code. The website is auracarbon.com. And this is a company that has developed technology for the carbon credits market. Now, of course, carbon credits historically have been a fairly disparate business. And of course, companies a few years ago were buying and selling carbon credits, and it was really hard to, I think, because there were several different markets. It was it seemed very fragmented, and it was very difficult to see how those credits could be pulled together. And also, I think many companies have been accused of greenwashing in the past, and using carbon credits that weren't really up to the standard. Well, of course, that has evolved and changed. And Aura Carbon or Aura Technologies have developed an app which is into this huge growing market. The projected market size by 2030 is some 30 billion. As we as of last year, it was worth 1.6 billion. So it's a huge growth market. Of course, this is a place where companies can buy, sell, and retire carbon credits in what they call the voluntary carbon market, or VCM. And the VCM is used by public and private sectors to work towards carbon neutral and net zero climate goals. And of course, if you're a manufacturing company with a labor intensive or an industry intensive manufacturing process, which is viewed as dirty, you might be invest into a green carbon project or a green project to offset your carbon output. So with the aim, of course, that you become carbon neutral. So although you might have a dirty output, you can invest into that to improve it, but you can also invest into other projects that will ensure that your entity at the end of the day is carbon neutral. What this app has done, it's pulling together all of the historically disparate carbon credit systems into one place. So you have a simplified and intuitive user experience. Now, the company is founded by an entrepreneur, Mike Edwards, and Mike Edwards has been involved in many technology businesses over the past few years. He was the founder of Guild Esports, founder of Cellular Goods, that's cannabinoids, of course, co-founder of NFT Investments, Argo Blockchain, to name but a few. So very much a technology-based entrepreneur. And, of course, we've seen the explosion in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. This is very much starting to show the potential that it could be a similar market, because with everything now centralized, you can go in and fund your account, buy and sell these carbon credits, and of course it then becomes a very quick, intuitive process. So the system behind it will develop and evolve, and companies will be able to go to this and execute and buy perhaps the carbon credits they need to move towards their net zero goals very quickly and very efficiently. So I'd urge you to go and look at the website. You can see details of the app on there, and also where to download the app, and you can start to build your carbon credit portfolio.
They haven't launched it yet. I mean, you're on a waiting list. I've got the app. Last time you were on, I mentioned it, but I'm on a waiting list.
Yes.
I don't know how long that waiting list is, but I'm not a big fan of queuing. It's interesting. He seems to be, what's the guy's name you said there?
Mike Edwards.
Mike Edwards. He does seem to be, jumps on new tech quite quickly, and which is quite interesting. I've downloaded the app. I'm on the waiting list here, so because I'm interested in that space. Cool. What's next, Al?
Okay, First Class Metals again. Just want to touch on this company again. First Class Metals are also presenting a seminar tomorrow night in London. You can go to their website or contact the company. They are a Canada-focused company. The company has a series of assets primarily based on the north coast of Lake Superior. So this is in an area called the Schreiber-Hemlow Gold Belt. So here the company are uncovering precious and base metals at an area called Pickle Lake and Dead Otter Lake, some fantastic names there. They also have a project called ESA, which is adjacent to the Barrick Hemlow Gold Mine, which is a a gold mine that's been producing for many years. And the geology at the Esser prospect, where the company working, is very similar to that at Barrick. So a lot of interest in what's happening there. They have a number of other projects, namely Magical, Makela, Enable, and Cocoa East, toward the west of those projects. And then further west, just west of the town of Thunder Bay that's based on the coast of Lake Superior, they have the Sunbeam Mine, which is an historical gold mine, historically produced gold years ago. Still plenty of workings on the site, and the company has identified a number of other prospects there, using modern technology, of course. You can go back to these old places and often new trends can be discovered, and that's what the company is hoping to do. And the news today, of course, the company has an interest in the Zigzag Lithium Project. And this is well to the north on the fantastically named Zigzag Lake. It's well to the north of the Lake Superior projects. It has an agreement with New Insco to buy into this project, the Zigzag project is considered very prospective for lithium pegmatites. Many outcroppings have been seen there, historic grades at surface up to 1.68% lithium, previous samplings produce highly anomalous lithium, tantalum, and other rare earth readings. So hugely important. The chief executive, Mark Sale, visited the project last week to oversee the start of operations, the grab samples they've collected already are showing great potential, and they're literally walking onto the site and picking stuff up off the top of the ground. But they're not alone in this area either. There are a number of other projects, adjacent mineral deposits. There's the Falcon Lake projects, the Falcon Lake discovery, the Dempster deposit, Chapels Lake discovery, Blue Bear, and a raft of other deposits, all looking at lithium and rare earths within a relatively few miles of the first class area of activity. So the company has issued shares also to New Insco Resources in respect of their option, and we're going to hear more about this project going forward, but the company very much prioritised it. So exciting news today from First Class Metals. Share price still over the previous IPO level, hoping to hear more in the coming weeks.
First Class Metals, they're still above IPO level.
The company IPO'd last year. The shares IPO'd at 8p, they're currently at 8.5p. They've been as high as 15-16p. So obviously with that bit of dilution in the market, I imagine the share price has weakened slightly. But we're going to hear an awful lot from this company in the next few weeks. And as I said at the start, they will be presenting at this seminar tomorrow night in London.
Marvellous stuff. Cheers, Al. Speak to you next week.
Thank you, Just. Speak to you next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.